This is a free audio overview from Special Learning. It's a synthetic voice, not a person, and it's summarizing one session of a training course. It isn't the session itself. The session is the second of two on decreasing problem behavior. The first was about the assessment. This one is about what gets written into the plan afterward. It's taught by Christine Austin, a behavior analyst who directed clinical operations at a center-based autism program. It was recorded for professionals. This overview is for the parent who has been handed a behavior plan or is about to be, and wants to know what a good one contains and what they have a right to be told. The session opens by tying the plan back to the assessment. If the assessment found what a behavior is for, the plan has to answer that purpose. The presenter shows a case where watching alone suggested a boy's refusals were about attention, and a fuller analysis showed they were about attention and about getting out of work. Her point is practical. A plan built on the first answer might have used a timeout, and for a child who wants out of work, a timeout is a reward. The wrong answer doesn't just fail. It teaches the wrong lesson. Then she lists what a plan should contain before any intervention appears in it. A team, and she names the parents first, then the doctors, the school, and anyone who works with the child, because everyone has to do the same thing for the plan to work. A clear definition of the behavior, in words anyone could read and recognize. Baseline data, meaning a measurement of how often or how long the behavior happens before anything changes, because without it nobody can say whether the plan is working. A record of what has been tried before, so nobody reinvents the wheel or repeats a failure. And the child's medical and safety picture, medications, pain, sensory sensitivities, anything that makes a given approach unsafe. She gives an example of a boy who had been restrained by several adults at a previous placement. Because the team knew that, hands-on prompting was ruled out from the start. The heart of the session is prevention, and it's the part a family will recognize. The presenter's first question is always whether the behavior can be stopped from starting. If it clusters at certain times of day, change what happens then. If the child slept badly or is hungry or in pain or changing medication, don't ask for a full day's effort. Learn the child's early warning signs and back off before the peak, not after. Give attention freely, on a schedule tighter than the behavior, so the child doesn't have to earn it the hard way. Keep the child's way of communicating within reach at all times. Post a schedule the child can see with the good parts on it, so the day is predictable. Offer choices about order. Build momentum with a few easy tasks before a hard one. Show one problem at a time instead of a page of 20. And offer breaks before the child would have taken one by force, keeping the break plain, so that finishing the work is what earns the good thing, not escaping it. Then the replacement behaviors matched to the purpose. Asking for what you want instead of grabbing it. Asking for a break instead of dropping to the floor. Asking for attention with a name or a raised hand instead of a hit. And for behavior the body does for its own sake, another way to get the same feeling that does. The session then explains the words families hear and rarely have defined. Extinction, she says, is not ignoring. It means the behavior no longer gets what it used to get, and the adult stays present and watching, especially if a child could be hurt. It gets worse before it gets better, it takes time, and it's very hard to be consistent with, which is why it should never be the whole plan. Differential reinforcement means rewarding the right behavior on a schedule set from the baseline. If the behavior comes every 20 minutes, the reward for its absence comes every 15, and the interval stretches as the child succeeds. Two of the case studies deserve a line each. A 10-year-old boy whose plan was prevention, a way to ask for help and then for a break, a timer with tokens, and calm redirection. His difficult minutes went from about 25 a day to zero. The reward interval grew from 20 minutes to over 100, and the presenter says they never had to add anything harsher. And a 17-year-old in mainstream classes whose plan was a written schedule with breaks built in, a note of encouragement from across the room, a cue card in his pocket, and, for a good half day, lunch with the friends he chose. His refusals dropped to almost nothing, and the team graphed his new skills as carefully as his old behaviors. The last part of the session is about the interventions the presenter calls punishment procedures, and here her rules matter more than the details. They are considered only after reinforcement-based plans have been tried and measured. They require the guardian's informed consent and the agency's approval, and at her program a review committee looks at them every month. Time out, she says, is only ever appropriate for behavior that seeks attention or access, never for behavior that seeks escape, and her program does not use seclusion. Physical restraint is never an intervention. It is an emergency response to immediate danger and nothing else. And before anyone concludes that a positive plan has failed, she says, someone should check whether it was actually being carried out as written, because more than once she found it wasn't. Which leads to the sentence families may most want to hear from a professional. Parents should never be in the dark about what is being done with their child. The presenter says her program tells parents before any intervention starts, trains them on what it is, and reports to them weekly, and she says that if a parent says no, the intervention stops there. The words and rules for these things differ from country to country, and the review bodies she names are local ones. The rights underneath don't change. A plan for your child should say what the behavior is for, what it will teach instead, how it will be measured, and what you agreed to. In words you can read. This is general information for families, not clinical advice, and not a treatment recommendation for any individual child. If you want something to use today rather than something to buy, Special Learning's free tools and guides are at speciallearning.com/freeresources, no account needed. The full session, and the rest of the series, is in Special Learning's video CE library. The link is in the episode notes. This has been a free audio overview from Special Learning.